WCI 88.9 in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. You can access our shows live or as a podcast by going online to KUCI.org. This is the In the Garden Show, produced by UC Master Gardeners of Orange County, and I'm Sally Richards. I'm your host for the hour. And this week's topic is going to be strawberries, my favorite. My guest this morning is Gary.
From Laguna Hills Nursery.
Hi.
Hi. And I just want to do a little background on strawberries. I did a little bit of research and found out that, of course, most of the plants that we have here, if they weren't grown wild and cultivated here, were brought over from Europe. And so some of the strawberries that came in that were getting bigger and bigger because they were trying to cultivate strawberries to make them larger. But they came from France in the 1700s. And so we tried to cultivate the ones that they brought in and make them larger, sweeter in any way that we could. And by 1825, strawberries were well established in the United States. And everybody knows why, because they're so good. And you may not know it, if you live here in California, California is one of the top 10 agricultural states that grow strawberries. We grow 90% of the nation's strawberries, and because we can harvest them for 10 months of the year. So they need a lot of sunshine. And Gary, you probably know more about this. The more sunshine they get.
The more energy they get, the more berries they make.
And the sweeter they are.
Oh, yes.
I used to pick strawberries with my kids, and we used to make strawberry jam. And the growers there said, don't come after a big rainstorm, because the strawberries grow really big, and they look really good, but they're not as sweet as the sun when the sun's out there. So I always remembered that tip. So that's a good tip for remembering when you're going to pick your own. They're high in vitamin C and B and the B family vitamins and potassium. And some of you may not know, but University of California was helped produce a new strawberry because and we're always working with commercial strawberry growers to grow better varieties, things that grow better in our area. And in 1920 in California, they only grew 32 tons of strawberries per acre. Two tons of strawberries per acre, but in 2003 it was up to 32 tons per acre. That's like awesome.
Yeah, that's many times more.
Who knew? I mean, but you know, I mean, we have great. So if you live out here in California, you may be listening to this in other countries. We definitely do this podcast to around the world. But if you do have a really nice temperature Mediterranean climate like we do, we can grow strawberries here really well, obviously. Okay, so I was looking, and from what I understand, there are three types of strawberries?
Well, we don't make that distinction much anymore, but yes, there are three types of strawberries.
Okay, you want to tell me a little bit? I know I found out that the June-bearing and the ever-bearing were just like crossing over and...
Yeah, it's confusing. We used to have June-bearing and then the ever-bearing types. The ever-bearing are getting more like the June-bearing are getting more like ever-bearings now, so the difference seems to be just a few months of production.
Oh, really? Okay. So when we go to the store now, do they just say June-bearing pretty much, and we go to pick up nurseries?
Most of the ones that our suppliers sell and we sell are ever-bearers.
Ever-bearer?
And they kind of slow down in the summer, but they don't ever quit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the June-bearing ones we used to sell, which people ask for now and then, would stop bearing in August and pick up again around October, November.
Oh, no kidding.
So
even the June-bearing were not just June-bearing. They were
right.
Bearing a couple of other times. So I'm not sure how, but I think I know the temperature here really makes a big difference in the bearing times for sure. And then there's Alpine. Do you know anything about the Alpine?
Well, the Alpine seem to produce lightly all summer long. They're a different schedule than the other larger strawberries. The Alpines, which are about the size of your fingernails, certainly pack a punch. They don't have runners. The plants can live 3 or 4 years.
Oh, and they're usually white, or at least they're red.
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen red, and I've seen white,
red
too.
Red and white, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but they're much, much smaller than the other ones, at least the ones that I've had. And I've grown some, too. I came from Michigan, so I was able to grow strawberries, and they came back. And, of course, here they are going for a much longer season. So, but the alpine ones came from more of an alpine setting where it was pretty dry up in the mountains. But they do have much, much sweeter, and like you said, packed a punch. It really does.
Yeah, very strong flavored.
Yeah, those are really delicious. So, now there's different ways to start strawberries from growing. So what are some of the ways that would be good for our listeners to try?
Well, generally the alpine strawberries are grown from seed. We've grown them from by just picking the seeds off the fruit and growing those, and they come out pretty true to seed.
No kidding.
You can buy that in packages too. Most of the other strawberries were developed by researchers, and the only way to get exactly the same plant back is to clone them.
Mm-hmm.
So most strawberries are grown from the runners that the mother makes, and all the runners make little plants that are clones of the mother.
So they're going to be the same.
Right.
So if we grew something from a seed from there, we wouldn't get the same strawberry, right?
It could be similar. It's like your kids. So
yeah.
they will be generally similar, although it's hard to get something just as good as what the researchers selected.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a 1 in 100 that they do. So
yeah, I couldn't understand that. I was talking to another grower, and I said, but if you cross the same mother and father, won't you get the same plant? And he says, do you have sisters and brothers? And I went, yeah, well, that's my point.
Yeah.
So it won't be quite the same, but I didn't know you could do that with alpines and do them from seed.
Yeah, that's usually the way they're grown.
So do you have to pick the seeds off, or can we just take one of the berries and put it in the ground?
That works. That'll work. The book recommends you let the strawberry fruit dry,
uh-huh,
and then you scrape the seeds off with the edge of a credit card, which works.
Oh.
Which works.
Oh, great. And so then would you have to put them in, like, wet soil, moist soil on top of it?
Right, into a moist soil, moist sand, that'll work. Or just throw them out in the garden, something comes up.
Yeah.
So they're pretty easy.
Oh, that's nice. That's really great. So besides seeds, how else could we start them?
Well, we sell them two ways. We sell the plants already growing in six packs. We also sell bare root plants.
Mm-hmm.
So the bare root ones are what is grown in the fields in Orange County. Those are grown up in the Sierra foothills, or the mother plants are grown up there, and then they pull out the little cloned offspring and then pack them in boxes and send them down here. One of the advantages and the reasons why the farms start fresh in Orange County every year is because up there in the Sierra foothills where they grow them, they've already gotten their winter chill. So you bring them down to Orange County in October, put them in the ground, and they think it's spring.
Oh, yeah.
So they're starting to flower and fruit, and the Orange County market is the December through March time period. That's their most profitable time period.
So that's when people should be putting them in the ground, or the bare roots?
You can, although most homeowners... you know, normal strawberry season actually is March through June, because the strawberry plants generally need a chill.
Mm-hmm.
So if you grow strawberries regularly, you'll notice that your plants don't start blooming till March, and then that's when they start making berries, because they need to go through winter first. If you buy new plants that are chilled from up north or in the refrigerator, now... we've heard that you can take the plants out of the ground, just pull them out, put them in a plastic bag and put them in your refrigerator,
uh-huh,
for 2 weeks, and that'll give them their winter, and then replant them, they'll bloom right away. But normally what we do is wait for them to bloom in the spring, and then they'll have berries mid-spring through mid-summer.
So would that be just the bare roots then, or are you talking about bare root plants?
Well, the bare root plants will produce sooner, and
okay,
most of the nurseries that sell strawberry plants in six packs and quarts,
right,
also buy bare root plants for that purpose, so they'll flower and fruit right away.
Oh,
whereas
okay,
if you leave them in the ground, and the plants can live 3 to 4 years, they will not produce heavily until they get their winter.
Okay, so if I was going to get a strawberry plant, and I put it in the ground, and I got strawberries this year, and it sent out little babies, and the mother plant is the first plant that you put in, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the main one. Okay, so now it's got like three little, and sometimes I've seen where it's even been more, where they'll jump, they'll start to root, and then start to root again. Is there any difference between which baby you take? I mean, are the babies closer to the mother more viable, or is there any difference?
Well, size has a lot to do with it. So the small ones just take a little bit longer to get going, but they all catch up, it seems, by the middle of next year.
Okay, so if I've got my strawberry plant, and it's got a baby there, and it's not touching the ground or it's not doing anything, do I have to do anything to encourage it to start to grow? You know, just sort of floating out there?
Yeah, they hang like spider plants do. So, yeah, if they're not touching anything, they won't develop much of a root.
Uh-huh.
But we've taken those and put them in the dirt, and they've got enough energy they can root on their own, even without any roots to start with.
Oh.
So we rarely throw them away. We'll always put them in a little pot, and they'll root out and get going before they die.
Oh, yeah.
So they're pretty strong.
I usually just put mine in the ground in a flat planter, and then they just go around the ground. But I know a lot of people will put them into hanging baskets.
Mm-hmm. And we'll cut them off the runners, and even if they don't have roots at that time, they seem to make it.
Wow, that's great. Now, what do we do with the mother plant? Do we keep the mother plant?
Well, the mother plant seems to produce for at least 2 or 3 years after you buy it. But I'm certain the production goes down as they get root bound, let's put it that way.
Okay, well, so if I had them in the ground, would it make a difference?
Yeah, well, up in the Central Coast, California, they usually keep the beds in operation for about 3 years. And the babies do multiply, and they fill in the gaps, so they say the spacing on the plants, because in the fields in Orange County, they space them 18 inches apart for best production. But in the fields in the Central Coast, they let the babies fill in the gaps, and they'll be about 6 inches on center, and that's about as close as they want them to get.
Okay, so if we were going to put them in our garden, say I got a six-pack, then about how far would I put them? If I wasn't going to put them in a planter, say I was going to put it in a raised bed.
Well, if you've got good soil, those plants can actually grow 2 feet wide. We've seen it.
Oh.
But, you know, most people will put them about a foot apart, and some people put them 8 inches apart, and it's all fine.
Uh-huh.
The wider you let them grow, probably the bigger the berries you'll get. But, of course, if you have more plants, you'll get more fruit.
Right. Yeah. So. But depend quality or quantity, right?
Right.
Okay. So is there any special soil that they grow better in? I mean, what kind of soil do strawberries really like?
Well, the farmers who have the best beds, and we've seen them, they're almost in pure sand.
Really?
I had the first house I bought had a sandbox in it. We let a strawberry plant get into it, and it took it over. It took over the entire box.
Oh, my gosh.
Within a year. We couldn't believe it. We didn't water it. We didn't fertilize it. The strawberries just took over. So they love sand. They are native to riverbeds.
Oh.
So sand is like their home. Of course, you do have to fertilize them,
yeah.
but and water them a little more frequently. But the growers who have the best soil, or they tell us it's the richest soil, we know they're right along the Santa Ana River.
Oh.
So it's just sand.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's what strawberries seem to like the most. They need that real good aeration or drainage of the
uh-huh.
soil. That's the key.
Yeah, and the water will go right through it and bring the nutrients down into it.
Air gets in there, keeps the roots happy.
I mean, I have DG. Is that kind of...
DG is just riverbed soil that hasn't gone through riverbed yet, so you're good. That's a real well-drained soil, too.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. I had some paths when we moved into our house, and they're just sort of sitting there, and weeds in that. But, maybe now I found a good source of something to put in there now. That's really great.
I'd like to take a short station break now to let you know that you're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. This is the In the Garden Show, produced by UC Master Gardeners of Orange County, and I'm Sally Richards, your host. This morning, we're talking with Gary from Laguna Hills Nursery. We're going to be talking about strawberries, if you haven't already been listening along. If you'd like to have more garden information, you can go online at uccemg.com. You can find out more about weeds, pests, ornamental plants, and edibles with photos to help you identify them. uccemg.com gives you month-by-month gardening tips and information about soils, fertilizers, and compost. This website also lists events where UC Master Gardeners are presenting garden workshops based on the latest scientific research done by the University of California Cooperative Extension. Also, you can find information about publications by the Agricultural and Natural Resources. Some of these are free as well as available in Spanish. Do you have a particular question about your garden? Are you interested in becoming a UC Master Gardener? Or are you looking for a speaker for your group? We come and talk to garden groups and anyone who is interested in gardening. We have actually a speakers bureau for that information, and it's all free. You can go onto this website to find answers to your garden questions or on our hotline and access podcasts from our past In the Garden Show. This week's topic is strawberries, and my guest is Gary from Laguna Hills Nursery. Now let's return to our interview with him.
So there's different kinds we can get. You can start from seed, you can get bare roots, and those usually come like a rubber band around them, and you see the roots in packs at the nursery. Sometimes you'll find mm-hmm. them that way. And then there's also the six packs, and that's probably more common.
Right. Most people feel more comfortable with the six pack, something already rooted and growing.
Yeah. So where can, I mean, there are a lot of places we can get strawberry plants from, and so some of the places would be like a nursery, like you have a nursery here, mm-hmm. Laguna Hills Nursery here in Tustin, right?
Right.
So you carry a lot of different kind of strawberry plants, and now does some of them, are there like early, mid-season, and late, so you could really have like a long strawberry growing season, or?
Well, most of them bear close to the same time. Most of them are very good production through spring, mm-hmm. and most of them will produce into early summer. The everbearing types tend to produce a little more late summer than the spring or June bearers do. But most of them are, people are happy with just about any strawberry. And the flavor certainly is better than what you can buy from the store.
Oh, for sure.
When you pick them fresh. So most strawberries are quite good.
Yeah, and it's always nice when you walk out in the garden and there's a surprise, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have any tips for birds? Birds seem to love them also. Is there any way to, you got any tips on how to keep the birds away?
Well, we've, for the last 20 years, have grown ours in containers and have the berries hang over the edge of the pot. And for some reason, when they're hanging over the edge of a pot, that strand of berries that they make, the birds don't seem to get them.
Maybe they just can't land, huh?
Right. It's hard for them to handle the berry that's dangling, I guess. And so we know people who grow a lot of strawberries in hanging baskets,
uh-huh.
and the birds don't seem to mess those up at all. Now, we also know that birds, there's two things they're really scared of. One is snakes. So we do sell blow-up snakes, and you can buy toy snakes, and that will work for several weeks. It'll keep them, you know, keep them real scared for a few weeks till they get used to it. The scarecrow owls work for a couple days. Mylar tape, this bird scare tape, works for a few weeks. So there's different things you can do. Of course, the strawberry season lasts a long time. They eventually get used to what you do.
The birds smarten up and go, strawberry.
Now, what I did for several years, I grew strawberries in 8-inch pots, and I kept the pots in a deep saucer of water, and filled the saucer up once a week, so there'd be a moat around it.
Yeah.
And what that did is stop the snails. is stop the pill bugs, and the berries hanging over the edge of an 8-inch pot, the birds never touched them. So we had about 10 plants going, and you water it once a week because it had a moat.
Yeah.
And it can draw the water from there, and that worked.
Oh, that's a good idea. And you can tell when the water's going down. All you have to do is walk out there. And so, yeah, and we're here at the beginning of March here taping this show, so it's been kind of cool right now, but this is when the rain is supposed to come. We'll see. But then, you know, once those strawberries get out there, we'll have the sun, and then they'll be really nice and sweet. And so besides getting them in a nursery or maybe a big box store, where else could we get them?
Well, you can get them mail order.
Mm-hmm.
There are companies that send, of course, a lot of the companies that are on the Internet want to sell you 500 at a time.
Well, yeah, that's harder for them, I'm sure, to send strawberry plants. And, you know, if you're going to grow them, you're going to want to get a six-pack at least because you want to be able to have enough to...
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually probably better off buying it locally and then just, you know, put them in the ground because, you know, they've been well taken care of. Do you think we can get seeds from catalog? I would think... Although I don't think I've ever seen seeds.
There are strawberries grown from seeds now, so the growers do a few of them. I really haven't been happy with any of those because they do advertise in nursery journals about strawberry plants now that they're propagating from seed.
Uh-huh.
But so far, not as good as the ones that are cloned.
Well, and it takes longer. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get a clone, you got stuff ready to go, and that's always good. So we talked about getting them from a nursery. You can get, sometimes you can get, if you can find them, seed from the catalog, but I know a lot of people don't even grow a lot of vegetables from seeds anymore. Everybody's, I want it now, I want it now.
All right.
I've seen, you know, even carrots and other things that, peas, which I don't understand because they're so easy to grow. But then on the other hand, I'm a big seed grower, so I always like that. Okay, so let's see what else we've got. So a lot of people, I live down in San Clemente, and we have a lot of clay soil. Is there something I can do? I mean, you said sand seems to be some of the best.
Well,
growing
we know they need good drainage, but even clay can drain well. So it's interesting, if you look at some of the websites of the strawberry growers, like in Irvine, where they have really, really sandy soil along the 5 freeway, they raise those beds, which are sandy loam, which are very sandy, but they still raise them 18 inches to give the strawberries good drainage.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Central Coast, where the majority of strawberries in California are grown, a lot of those farms are in clay. There's a lot of clay near the coast, where the rivers slow down and go into the ocean. So we've seen the videos from those companies that sell strawberries. They raise the clay soil 3 feet to get an equivalent drainage to 18 inches in sandy loam. And they show videos that are funny with their kids running through the fields and their heads just popping up. That's all that's visible is their hair. Because they're running through the fields that are raised 3 feet. Of course, they cover them in plastic so that the rain doesn't wash them down.
Yeah.
But they're raised up high. So you can take any soil you want, raise it high enough, you'll get the drainage.
Oh, my gosh. Of course, it'd be a little strange in your garden, I would think.
No?
Unless you wanted to make a maze for
your
kids.
You wouldn't have to bend over.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, well, I'm not sure that I want to start a U-pick.
Now, you'll notice that some strawberry fields are covered in clear plastic and some are covered in black plastic. Well, the clear plastic fields are the ones that are conventionally farmed, and they fumigate underneath that plastic to prevent weeds from growing in there. The black plastic farms are the organic farms, and the black plastic keeps the weeds from growing. You cannot grow with the clear plastic on top of the ground without getting just a horde of weeds coming up.
I would think so. It would be a greenhouse effect.
But the clear plastic is warmer than the black plastic initially. So the farms that want to get their crops off by December always have clear. The black plastic, it takes until about mid to late winter before their crops are ready. It takes them a little bit longer.
Okay, so for the home gardener, would it be smart to put plastic down, like maybe black plastic, around your strawberry plants when you put them in?
That would be a little, probably warmer than just a mulch,
mm-hmm.
an organic mulch. Organic mulches tend to keep the soil cool,
uh-huh.
but that's if you're really interested in that early crop.
Yeah.
So
you're going to be the first one on the block.
Right.
I'm going to have strawberries.
Then you need clear plastic.
Okay. And then you got to deal with the weeds, right?
Right.
Oh, well, that's not a good thing. So, but if I have, because I know I have clay soil in my backyard, and I don't want to go 3 feet high, so can I mend it with something, like sand or something? Would that help?
Sand works. You can amend any clay soil in Orange County. I've been told by some agricultural agents that there's no clay soil clay enough that if you mix it half and half with sand,
mm-hmm.
it'll drain.
Oh, good. All right, well, there's a chance for me then. Good thing.
And you can just put sand on top of your soil. It's fine.
I don't have to dig it in? No.
Oh. Okay. Same as my sandbox when I had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I might even try that trick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do some planters on the wall where and plant them up in trays and put them there. I was going to try that this year and put my strawberries in. Maybe I'll just do a test one. Put sand in one of them, see what happens. Yeah.
You do have to fertilize weekly or else put a good organic mulch on top that's nutritious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our first thing we ever did with sand was try strawberries in it. We wanted to see how good the potting soil sand was, and it did win. Potting soil for strawberries, if you use sand, you get incredible results.
Wow. I never knew that. That's really something. Okay, our next thing we're going to talk about here is the any amendments. So we talked about mulch a little bit. So is there any one mulch better than another? I mean, when I go out and pick strawberries, I always see straw down.
That's traditional. Yeah, it's clean.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't promote rot as much. Fine bark would probably work. Cedar mulch, we know the cedar is very strippy, kind of like straw is, and that works well too. But they're not that picky about what you do.
Okay, so I won't have to go out and get a hay bale or something and put them over my strawberries to get them to go.
Yeah, you could. You could be traditional.
Yeah, it's a little harder to find hay bales in Orange County, but I found them in.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them. So, and then the type of fertilizers to use, did it take a lot of nitrogen or?
Well, the guys who did the research at the Irvine Field Station on strawberries like to use a 15-15-15. I'm not a big fan of 15-15-15, but most organic fertilizers are well balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So most organic fertilizers would be fine. I mean, we usually start ours off with a time-release chemical because it's a little bit faster. Most organic fertilizers, it takes a week or two to get results from that fertilizer. But the chemicals do start off immediately. So we usually start them off one round of chemical fertilizers, the rest will be organic. But certainly there are organic farmers that start off organic.
Right. So as far as the the numbers, is it just is it good to have like a 10-10-10 or a 15-15-15, or is one ingredient should be stronger than the others?
Well, we've been told the even numbers is good for strawberries. I mean, if you want a plant to grow, the first number is the most important, but in general, the strawberry plants you get are not babies.
Right.
So they've got a lot of nutrients already in them, so you don't have to worry too much about that. Just make them flower and fruit.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, I've got to take a short station break here to let you know you're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org online. So make sure if you're listening to this and you decide you want to hear our shows in the future, you can always listen to us on a podcast, and you can find out anything you need to know in the garden because we have them all archived. So you can just go through them and pick out what you need. Maybe you need rose pruning, and there's a podcast for that. And we've been doing it for a long time now, so we have a big variety of things that you can choose from. So just go right online and at KUCI.org. And it'll have the podcast listed. So this is In the Garden, show produced by UC Master Gardeners of Orange County, and I'm Sally Richards, your DJ for the hour, and we're talking about strawberries with Gary from Laguna Hills Nursery, and he's got a lot of really interesting things. I'm finding out an awful lot. So the next thing we want to cover is, so we talked about which ones produced earlier. We didn't really talk about varieties. What type of varieties would you recommend? Like if I was going to, maybe one you would recommend, just my first time, I'm putting strawberries in this year. I'm putting in like 16 plants this year, but if I was a first-time strawberry plant person, what would you recommend?
We tend to use Seascape as a go-to strawberry for difficult situations or beginners, because it is one of the most vigorous types that the universities produce or created. The plants are big when we get them. They make big berries. They're quite good. Or if you want the best tasting, we usually go to Albion. So Albion was developed about 10 years ago from University of California also, and that around the world almost is considered the top strawberry. Now, they've had recent problems with Albion in some of the farms, so they said they were getting a red stem rot, so we're not pushing them quite as much, although I doubt that most homeowners will see that problem for the next few years. But Albion, certainly one of the best we've ever eaten. There's a new one that we've carried earlier this year that you might want to look for too, called Sweet Anne, which is the newest, one of the newest strawberries out, and that's considered a little better than Albion.
Oh my gosh. Well, that, yeah, and I haven't heard, what was that first one again? Because I have not heard of that one.
Seascape?
Yeah, Seascape. I haven't seen that. But you carry it, right?
We've carried that for at least 10 years.
Oh my gosh. Well, see, I live far away from here. That's okay. I'm not to blame.
I mean, back in, you know, if you go back in history, 20 years ago, 30 years ago was Sequoia, which was the first good one out there, and still considered one of the best strawberries to eat. No shelf life, but really good off the vine. But
yeah, they don't make it very long on my shelf.
And then a few years later in the 70s, late early 80s, it was Douglas. And then in the 90s, it was Chandler. Chandler's still being sold, and that's still a good one. That's more of a June bearer. We noticed the Chandlers at our store would just stop making flowers after July. So and then not again until October. So there was a gap there where they didn't produce. So our customers would prefer the everbearers like Seascape, Albion, some of the newer ones out there.
Yeah, I talked to some other people, and they said I took some classes about strawberries because in our master gardening we had to go through that. And they were saying, yeah, well, here, I can tell you what we grow, but I'll tell you what I like the best, and that was the Albion. They, for their home garden, they really liked that the best for the flavor. So that was really good. So we've got all different kinds of things. We've got fertilizers. We need to keep them well watered, right? Because
they use a lot of water. You don't want to let a strawberry dry out at all. If you let it dry out once, you're talking maybe 6 months before they get back into production. So, or just start over.
Oh, geez.
Not good with drought.
Oh, okay. So, you know, when things start looking not so good, you actually need to keep your eye on it. And I would think that if you put it in sand, you definitely have to be really on it, because the sand would be going, the water would be going right through that sand.
It's not as bad as you might think.
Really? Yeah. Does the sand hold the water better than the soil does? I always thought sand was, you put it in there to make it drain better.
Right, but sand in a pot is not bad. Sand was the original potting soil. If you go back, well, the Chinese and Japanese bonsai artists always knew that sand was the most vigorous growing medium.
Oh, my gosh.
Throughout Europe in the 1800s, sand was used as a potting soil. The orangeries in France, they analyzed the soil in those big pots that had the first greenhouse, first big pots, 95% sand in that.
No kidding.
So sandy soil or pure sand is what we found ourselves to be one of the best growing mediums you can ever use in a pot.
Oh, my gosh.
And it didn't dry out that badly.
Huh. Wow. Well, that's really good to know. And usually you don't think of sand as being something that has a lot of nutrients in it or anything. But so now what can we do about insect damage? I mean, we got the bird problem. that we can deal with. But is there, you mentioned pill bugs or snails and stuff like that?
Right. There are some organic methods of control on that. So the most of those involve spinosad and iron phosphate are the two control materials that are being used.
And if I was a home, would I necessarily be concerned about having a lot of insect damage?
If you grow strawberries, you'll have insect and bug. You'll have bug damage definitely on the fruit.
The
only way to avoid that is to fumigate your yard, which is what a lot of farms do. But but there's no way we fumigate anymore.
No. So is there any way, like, is it like soil borne? So like the leaves touch the ground and the insects come up, or is there any way we could protect them so that the wouldn't get as many insects?
Well, there are some methods. So a number of years ago, one magazine wrote that you can get some smooth pebbles and set the fruit stem right on it, and most animals don't think about crawling up rocks to get to fruit.
Yeah.
So they said that protects them decently. Now, I would tell you, you get a little champagne glass or, even just a bathroom cup.
Yeah.
And stick the strawberry in there as it's growing. Most insects won't think about trying to climb that cup.
Kind of like a collar kind of thing?
Well, just throw it in the cup. Because they come, the berries form on fairly long stems. Usually 8 to 12 inch long stems. And so you just dump that in a cup of some sort and even cover it, I guess. Cover it with something so they can't get in. They'll develop in there. So that's one method. I mean, we've put bags over them, so Ziploc bags.
Uh-huh.
Just watch the temperature.
Yeah.
Because the bag on the ground gets a lot warmer.
Right.
But
that's snails, physical. You mentioned snails too, so is that just because the soil is really wet and they just can slither along?
Yeah,
and
they and snails are look for the ethylene gas that ripening strawberries give off. So right when they're the ripest, that's when both snails and pill bugs get to it because of the ethylene.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a product out there that involves both the iron phosphate and spinosad, and that combination seems to get rid of both the snails and the pill bugs and slugs and things that might eat the strawberries. And that is organic, so that's a good one.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, that's always good to know. So I just let mine go. I know, it's a circle of life. Birds have to eat. Insects have to eat. I don't lose my whole crop typically to a couple of insect or pecks. I still get strawberries for myself. I think if I was going to try to do strawberry jam, however, I never get that many.
And true, when you grow your own fruit, a hole in there from a snail or a slug, you deal with it.
Yeah.
You don't want to throw that fruit away.
I know. My husband, he doesn't understand. He thinks, but the plant you put in the ground died. And I go, yes, it did. And it just wasn't in the right spot, or I didn't take care of it, or whatever. So do they grow mostly in the sun? They grow in the shade at all?
I've grown strawberries in half a day of sun, and they're still productive enough to do that. So if you get a good half a day, you'll be fine.
So
I rarely have a full day of sun in my yard anyway, and they still produce.
Well, they have those towers and all kinds of stuff, too, so and we're going to get to that in a second. So about how far apart should I plant them for my home garden, just depending on how much space I have?
Six to 18 inches. I mean, farms do 18. Uh-huh. Some farms do 6. So anything in between is fine.
So, yeah, because they're not going to send their babies out until they're going to produce off the mother plant right off. That's where they're first going to produce. And then they'll start sending out their little babies so that then they'll start to spread out. So I want to talk about containers, too, because we have a whole bunch of stuff. One of the ones, when I was young, it was called a strawberry pot. And it was a clay pot, and they had, little pots coming out the side.
Yeah, little pockets.
Yeah, little pockets for strawberries. And what do you think about those?
Well, we like to recommend they're more suitable for succulents and herbs. The pockets are generally too small, about 3 inches, 4 inches, 3 inches across. And they're spaced about every 6 inches on the pot. And if you figure a healthy strawberry plant can grow foot and a half across, they're a little small. but they can still work. Uh-huh. But generally, we go to something larger for strawberries.
Yep. And I would think, I mean, to me, it just sounds like a hanging one would be ideal because then you wouldn't have the bird problem. Mm-hmm. And doesn't take up any space in your garden. It can hang it from whatever. I have a nice little pergola thing, and I can put my all my plants there. But they also have the triangle planters. Have you seen those on the ground where they put wood down?
Right.
And those are right in the ground. Mm-hmm. And that can even be a focal point. So, like, if you were walking in your garden, you could have a three-sided, and then they build them up a little closer together, a little tighter, and then it comes up into, like, a pyramid, and then plant the ones on there. That way, I would think they would be able to send out their little babies, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, at our house, for the last 20 years or more, we've always stacked pots of different sizes. So you get the biggest pot on the bottom, and then you get a smaller pot on top of that. That gives you about 4 inches of space on its sides, and then you stack a smaller one on top of that, sometimes three or four levels high, and fill them with potting soil, and then grow the strawberries in kind of a tower that way.
Oh, that's handy. So now, do you use like a ceramic pot, or do you use a clay pot, or does it make any difference?
We're using plastic for the most part for the weight.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly any material can work for that.
Yeah, and then the strawberries are just cover the outside with other little babies.
Right, and they're hanging. You don't get as much pest problems that way.
Oh, I like that idea. I hadn't thought about that one. So, and I've also seen some where they're putting them into PVC pipe. So that's kind of the same thing as the strawberry pot, right?
Mm-hmm.
For
mm-hmm.
Not being able to have too much space for those plants to grow.
Yeah, well, we've seen farms where they grow them in gutters.
Uh-huh.
Actual gutters. And that can work.
Yeah. Yeah. And just make sure you put drainage on the bottom so that stuff can go through. Yeah, I'm going to try to do that. Matter of fact, I got a design in one of the magazines, and it's all wood, and then we put the gutter on the inside of it, so, and put it on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give that a try. Always experimenting. I mean, that's the way it is with gardeners. Okay, so then we've got a wooden teepee. I haven't seen any of those, but some of them do that. So they have, it's probably more like the pyramid kind of thing where they're growing them up and maybe have straight line things and having them growing around. So that could be what they're talking about. Anyway, so what kind of varieties do you have here at Laguna Hills Nursery?
Well, this time of year we still have a few this late winter bare root seascape strawberries. We may bring in some of the other strawberries that are being grown in the later in the year, like the everbearers, like Sweet Anne. Hopefully, we'll get that one again because mm-hmm. that's supposed to be real good. We also have in six packs Chandler, Sequoia, usually TriStar. And a few others that I can't remember the names of. Plus, we have alpines and quartz.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. That's good. So so the best way probably for the home gardener is probably just to get the six packs. And unless they have a specific... Now, if I buy a six pack and I've got six nice little plants in there, but you also have quartz, what's the difference? What would be one reason I would buy quartz over six packs or vice versa?
Well, usually the plant in a quart is 4 times the size of one in a six-pack, only because the six-pack has such small root space
mm-hmm.
that they couldn't put that big of bare root in there.
Right, yeah.
So we put our, when we pot up a few quarts, and they're much larger plants to start with.
And so when I'm looking at six-packs, I mean, sometimes I see them and there's like roots growing out the bottom. Should I pick my plant out and kind of look and see when I'm looking for to buy six packs, the roots and how, you know, if they're root bound or anything in there?
Well, generally, any six pack plant, as long as it's not rotten in there, they'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 2 or 3 weeks behind a plant in a quart pot, but they'll eventually become a good plant.
You just sort of separate the roots up when you put them in
right.
your soil or whatever. It is. So so what do you have in your garden? Which one variety? Do you have one that you like the best?
Well, we still grow Albion and Seascape Those are our two favorites.
Good standby ones. Right. Yeah. So that would probably, and we're here in Southern California, so this would be probably the best for this area here. And of course, if you go to your local nursery, you can talk to them because they would know what is the best thing for what's growing in your best area. So have you ever tried growing them in anything else? I mean, I've seen where people have grown them in hay bales and stuff like that. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, we've read a lot about those, but no, we've never tried that method.
Well, that just sounds a little bizarre, but, you know, I guess if you wanted to do a hay bale garden, you could work it out that way. So I want to thank Gary this morning. Do you have anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to talk about with strawberries or soils? Or?
Well, one thing we noticed when we were next to an organic farm with strawberries is they did have to treat them a lot for spider mites.
Really?
So the spider mites, anytime you have a lot of plants that are real full like that with lots of leaves, spider mites, and now and then we'll see spider mites from our homeowners too. We hit them with, they use an oil spray, which is considered organic. So either a horticultural oil or a neem oil type spray, and that takes care of that. But spider mites is big, a big problem. So.
Yeah, I get spider mites in my garden and a whole bunch of stuff around us, and powdery mildew and a bunch of other stuff. But I live more on the coast, so I'm going to get that kind of stuff growing. But so, okay, well, I want to thank Gary again. Thank you for spending the time. It just this is a real busy time for you, so I know that we're going to, you know, you can get back to work now, I guess, huh?
Yes.
Okay, thank
Thanks for the break.
All right.
I just want to remind you that this is Sally Richards on In the Garden on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And we were talking with Gary at Laguna Hills Nursery. As I was walking out of his store, I noticed what he meant when he was talking about the tower for his plants. And what he did is he took the plastic containers that look like vases, where they have wider at the top and they're narrow at the bottom, and he'd have like a 25 inch vase where on the base, and then he'd fill it with dirt, and then he would take another one, like maybe a 22 inch or 20 inch, and put that on top of that and fill that up, and then put a smaller one on top of that and a smaller one on top of that, so that the base that's on top of the lower one has some space around it that you can plant your strawberries. And that's what he had. So he was growing them and making a really nice tower, and it was really pretty. So the plastic containers he was talking about weren't the straight up and down black ones that I thought that's what they were. There's a couple of things I found out as I was doing more research. I found out that if you have planted some plants in the ground before you put the strawberries in, they may leave some viruses in the soil. So you don't want to put those strawberries in. And those plants would be eggplants, potatoes, raspberries, tomatoes, or peppers. If you planted those in the ground the year before, don't put your strawberries in then, in that space. You're going to want to rotate your plants. We know that. But there could be some things in there that might stunt the growth or slow the growth of your strawberries. And if you're going to leave them in for a couple of years, you definitely want to have them be healthy and put it in the healthiest soil. Typically what I'll do is I will actually get new soil when I'm planting my new things and put them in new soil. And especially with strawberries now, we know sand is really a good thing to have. When you're planting your plants, if you do buy the bare root, you want to put them in a quart container so that you have, they're like about 4 or 5 inches long, and you're really going to want to put them in a quart container so that there'll be enough room for those roots to spread around. Don't put them in a little 4-inch pot, and certainly you don't want to put them in a 6-pack. The roots are way too long, and you want them to have be really, really good quality plants for you. So when you plant them, make sure that you have the crown above the top of the dirt. You want it to go just to the top of the roots, have them underground. But you do have to leave that top part on. You'll probably see some of the green leaves coming out anyway, so you'll know not to plant them any deeper than that. then when you water, you want to water around the soil line. You don't want to water from above. Sometimes the leaves can get wet and they can get other kind of viruses or diseases on them, and you don't want to have that because that's where your fruit get all their nutrients. And so you want to try to get them watered from the bottom. I always found watering in the morning helps the sun will evaporate some of that water off, and so it's actually better to do that even for most of your other plants too. Then the thing that was really frustrating for me was that your production years for your strawberries are your second and third year. So I mean, like everyone else, you put them in the ground and they have their nice big red berries. But if you keep them in the same spot for two more years, you're going to even have a bigger supply of strawberries coming out of those. And so don't think that you have to replace your strawberries every year. And of course, you're going to get those little babies. They're going to come out and you'll be able to transplant them and start new plants for even the next year and the year after that. And so make sure you pick your strawberries in the morning, because that's when they are the best. And you can go out and just pick a couple of those nice red ones and put them on your cereal in the morning. And that they're delicious. And they stay pretty much only 3 days in the fridge, which is really kind of not so good, but I guess most of us wind up eating them anyway, much quicker than that. I found out, and I think I'm really going to try this with a hanging basket this year. We heard that it really stops the birds coming. They don't peck at the fruit because they can't get it when it's dangling down. The bugs don't seem to be able to get around to it, or any of the insects. And, the hanging pots, the best ones to get are, 12 to 15 inches from top to bottom. So those are nice deep ones because you can put 3 to 5 plants in a pot and you'll be getting a lot of strawberries coming over the top. And I have a greenhouse and I think I'm going to start putting some up in there, and they'll be nice and warm for the summer as long as it doesn't get too hot. But make sure that you give them a lot of water. And by doing all that and all those things, then you're going to make sure that you're going to have a really good crop of strawberries this year. And I hope you try some new varieties that you heard on the radio today. There are always new ones coming out. Go to your local nursery. A lot of times when you're talking to them, they're a little not more knowledgeable, and they can give you really good ideas on which ones to use, and especially because it's in the area that you live in, and those are going to be the ones that are probably going to be the best for you to grow. So anyway, I want to remind you that this is the In the Garden show. We're here every Thursday morning at 8:30 to 9:30. And, if you really want to know anything about gardening, you can go to the podcast at KUCI and just, get to the radio station page and it'll say podcasts and just look for Thursday. And then that'll show you what shows are in the podcast. We've been doing it a long time, so you will have a lot to choose from. And, the first show of the month, we tell you what we should be doing that month year round. And that's with Tina and Katrina. So I'm glad you were here this morning, and thank you for listening, and hopefully we'll see you next week in the garden.